me pray. God, we thank you, God. You're a wonderful God. God, you're so big. And God, we make you small in our day-to-day lives. We make you small when we are so narrowly focused, God, on just ourselves and our problems. And we try to take control. And God, you're just so big. You're so holy, God. And God, we want to know you just intimately. And God, I believe and I know and I trust that you want to know us, God, intimately. So would you help us by your Spirit, God, our helper, our wonderful counselor, God, would you help us, God? We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, I started a sub-series called Intimacy with God. I just as a quick recap, I went about 15 minutes over last time, by the way. So I'm going to really try to just, you know, just kind of get through this and watch the clock a little bit better. I shared about like my youth group experience, right? And how just that awkward moment at that retreat and the Lisas and the Emilys and the Aarons are, you know, just sprawled out on the ground, you know, crying in the Spirit of God. And I just feel like a cold fish. I'm just like, you know? And that was, you know, and that was really important because I think as I reflect back on that, God needed to make a distinction, right? God needed to show me that there is something about being set apart and being touched by God and marked by God and for him to just give the full force of himself, right? And I shared last week, Psalm 27, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of God all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And how I would read something like that in high school, and it's just like Teflon. Like, I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what that means to be intimate with God, to like, you know, to like, to know him like that. And not to rehash, you know, my entire like testimony or anything like that, but I think just coming to faith, and as a word of encouragement, I really hope this deeply encourages you that, and I hope you see it even in the Bible study and Galatians and like God's promise and his, you know, the covenant ceremony and God's doing it, like he's the promise maker, he's the promise keeper. Like he goes through all that trouble, like his son, right? Like the death and the crucifixion of his son, because he wants to be intimate with us more than we want to be intimate with him. You know what I'm saying? I hope that encourages you that it's a journey, right? Like when I first came to faith and I was like, I don't know, what does it mean to like, you know, like love God and be intimate with God and to know God. And it was all like really spiritual. And, you know, I was like trying to figure things out, and I'm still trying to figure things out. But it's great news that God, like that's the journey that we're on, is that God, like he wants to like know us, you know, and just be intimate with us and set us apart. And he calls himself a jealous God. He says, you shall have no other gods before me because I'm a jealous God. He gets jealous, right? When we go out and prefer other things, right? We're married to God and yet I can't stop looking around, right? Like he gets jealous about that. He's so jealous about that, that he has to send his son and he has to send the Holy Spirit to come and, you know? And so I don't know where you all are and where I'm at, like in that journey, but it's a wonderful journey, you know? Just every day, every week, every month, right? Every year, we're just pressing deeper into like the inner sanctum of God's holiness. And so we're going through 4 weeks in the upper room, okay? And I was trying to lay out a case that John 13 to John 17 is all connected. It's that like those days leading up to Jesus going to the cross, and he has time with his disciples. And it's very intimate. And Jesus is very intimate in other ways too, with other people. But, you know, we just want to look at that John 13 to 17. There's something hopefully there for us that God wants to share with us about how we can just take steps, right? In knowing God, not just knowing about God, not knowing statistics like on a baseball card, right? But really knowing him. So we're on John 14 this week, and I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, because Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. So this is called The Holy Spirit's Help. So let me read John 14, 16 to 26. Okay? This is Jesus talking, and he says, I will ask the Father, he's talking to his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he dwells in you and will be in you. Okay? That is very intimate language. I think we've talked about this before, but for the newcomers here, like in Genesis, when God uses the word know, right? Like Adam knew Eve and they bore a son. I mean, that's that verb of know, right? So when Jesus says, you know him, right? I don't know if you feel like you know him, you know? And that's the journey, right? I don't know if you feel like you know the Holy Spirit as a believer, right? But Jesus says, you know him. You know him because he dwells in you and will be in you. Okay? Verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's talking about the second coming, right? When Jesus comes again. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, and you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Okay? This is like kind of a PG service, so I don't want to like get into like, you know, like details of that, right? But that's what he's saying. You will know that I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. We'll talk about that. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself, reveal myself to him. Okay? We're going to talk about that. That's my first point. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? He's confused, okay? Because Jesus is making this transition, actually, from physical knowing to, like, spiritual knowing, right? Because he's on his way to the cross, and he's talking about, hey, you're going to see these trials, these tribulations, and things are going to happen, and I'm going to be gone. That's how Jesus precedes this, actually. I'm going to be gone, and you're going to need to know the way. And they're like, what's the way? He says, I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We didn't read that, but that's what precedes this. So this context is that Jesus is going away, and they're confused. They don't know what he means by he's going away. And so he's trying to make this transition. Like, you know me physically, you see me, but you're going to, like, know me. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to help you know me spiritually, not physically. Okay? I lost my place. Okay, verse 23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." What a wonderful promise. "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." Verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you," physically, okay? "But spiritually, after I'm gone, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Okay? So there's 3 points quickly that I want to go through. First, revelation, the manifestation of God. Revelation equals intimacy. Number two, obeying equals following equals loving. Okay, a lot of math here. Okay, and then verse number three, the Holy Spirit helps us love and follow Christ. So let's talk about the first one first. Revelation equals intimacy. Verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and how I love him will be, I will manifest, I will reveal myself to him." Okay? There's, and I'm just going to admit, okay? I'm going to admit before I start getting into this, I struggle with this, okay? I've struggled with it since I was a kid. I don't know, I got a lot of issues, you know, a lot of trauma, but there is something intensely intimate about revealing everything about yourself, right? I mean, even in a human sense, in marriage, in friendship, in growth group, in church membership, in family, with your children. I'm learning this, you know, so I'm not trying to like talk down on parents, especially like, you know, who have older kids, like, you know, Jeannie, but I'm learning this. Like, if I want to be close to my kids, they got to know me, all the good and all the bad. Now, I got to, like, be careful with that, you know, because, like, you know, there's things that I did that, like, you know, like, they probably should know when they're young. But as they get older, you know, they're going to know. They should know because I want to be close to my kids, you know. So they got to know all the good, all the bad. I remember when I got married to Tammy, I think it might have been, I don't know who I was talking to, but you know, I mean, I have a past. We all have a past, but I have a past, right? And someone was asking me, like, "Hey, did you tell Tammy about, like, all your girlfriends, right? Like, all however many of them, right? From, like, third grade on, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course I told her, right?" And they were shocked. They're like, "Oh, like, you got to, like, keep that hush-hush, you know?" And, you know, like, and I'm just being honest. I struggle with this. I struggle with this. And I don't exactly know why it is. And I got, you know, like, even with Tammy, there's like certain things. There's like a line that somehow I can't cross. You know, so like, for instance, like, I don't even know if she really knows what I do for work. Like, I never talk about work at home. Like, never, right? I don't think she knows actually what I do. She just knows that I go and I come back and money shows up somewhere. I don't know, you know? She doesn't know what I do because I don't talk about it, right? And I'm not saying I have to talk about it, but if she wants to know about it, you know, like, I got to take the time to, like, kind of, you know, open it up. And hopefully, if you've been in growth group for a while, or hopefully if you've been married for a while, or if you've had good friends or have a good relationship with your family, I mean, you understand, like, revelation, revealing that, like, inner dark night of the soul, you know, is necessary. I would say mandatory to be close to someone. Vulnerability is required to connect deeply, okay? So husbands, okay, I struggle with this, all right? But vulnerability is required to connect deeply. And here's the thing, God is like that too. You know, we're made in the image of God. And so when Jesus says, I will love you and I will manifest myself, the greatest gift of God, okay, even the old school thinkers thought this, the greatest gift of God is for God to reveal himself to you, because he doesn't have to, and he doesn't for everybody, okay? So one of the greatest gifts that you could pray for your children is that God would reveal himself, right? He's invisible. We don't see him, right? Not physically, right? But there is this revelation that God gives, right? You think about Moses, okay? Henry's favorite chapter of the Bible, or one of his two favorite chapters of the Bible, John 17 and Moses and Exodus 34. Moses asks, just in case you didn't know, those are his two favorites, okay? Exodus 34, right? Moses says, God, like, how am I going to know that you're for me and you're not against me? How am I going to know you're going to follow me? And God's like, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. And Moses says, show me your glory, God. Like, reveal the full force of who you are unto me. Okay? And God's like, okay, but I can't give you like a full thing. You can't see my face. I'm just going to pass by you and you got to see my backside. And I'm going to proclaim my words unto you, right? So Moses was asking for a revelation, right? He was asking for God to reveal himself to him in greater measure. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere in the Old Testament. It's everywhere in the New Testament. I'm just going to pick on one. Job, okay? If you know the book of Job, there's about 38 chapters of Job's suffering and difficulty and complaining and questioning and anxiety, and, you know, and most of his friends aren't helping. And then God reveals himself to Job, okay? And he says things like, and he's not very happy, actually. God's like, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Because Job is questioning God. He's kind of wagging his finger. And I sympathize for Job, by the way, right? I mean, he lost his 10 children. His wife left him. He's got, like, you know, just God was putting him under trials, right? So I'm not like, you know, throwing shade on Job. But God reveals, he says, where were you? Who are you, O man? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Were you there when I built all the mountains and all the valleys and the seas? Were you there? And then this is Job's response in Job 42. Okay, this is how, like, so God goes on for like three chapters. It's pretty intense, actually. I really like it. Job 38 to 41. Okay, God just lays it on Job. It's like, you want me? I'm going to give you me, right? That's what God does in Job 38 to 41. And this is how Job responds, okay? Then Job answered the Lord and said, God, I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. I thought I knew God, but I had no idea. I have heard of you. I heard about you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see you, God. And here's the thing. Like, when God reveals, this is my experience. I think this is biblical. This is probably your experience. When Jesus Christ shows himself, he's always bigger and more wonderful than I expected. Because I make him small, right? In my problems and in my difficulties and, you know. And that's like the gift of the revelation of God. Because he's so holy. It's like, he's so different. He's so uncommon. And he's always bigger and better and more wonderful than when I went in. And that's Job's experience, right? He's bigger, he's better. So when Jesus says, I will love you and I'm going to manifest myself onto you. What a wonderful promise, right? So God wants that for you, with you, more than you want it with him. And that is just like amazing. Even when I look back, sorry to keep talking about myself, even when I look back on like my youth group and pre-youth group days, it's like, I know God was there when I look back. I didn't see it at that time, you know, in my wandering and my playing and doing everything I was doing. Like, but when I look back, I see it. Like, I see, like, he was always there. He was just masterfully putting the pieces, right, in place to just let me wander and to be so dissatisfied and so broken and so, you know, just like it was there. It was perfect, right? So revelation, okay, is God's promise of intimacy. That's how I pray for my kids. That's how I pray for my wife. That's how I pray for you all, right? Or at least after I prepared for the sermon, I've added it to how I pray for you, okay? You know? Because like, right? I mean, we just, God, and he does it in different ways, right? So it's not like one dimensional, right? God's got his ways. It could be a conversation. It could be a song. It could be a, you know, like, could be in prayer. It could be just driving down the road. So whatever it is, right, that where God reveals, his revelation is an invitation to, like, to know him. Okay. Number two, obeying equals following and loving. Okay. And this is important because everything we just talked about actually has a condition. I know we don't like to talk about conditions in Christian life. It's like, oh, God loves us unconditionally, right? And I believe that, right? Like, I mean, there's a way to think about that. And I do believe God is, you know, incredible. And he, it's him, right? It's all him, even when Nate shared about his brother. It's all God, right? But Jesus connects that revelation and manifestation to keeping his commandments, right? I was struggling with this, to be honest. I was reading this, like, I don't know, what are you saying, God, right? Like, how are you connecting these things, right? And let me read it, okay? Verse 21 and 23. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. So he's connecting command-keeping with loving. He's trying to create like an equation here, right? They're equal. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And Jesus answered him, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and we'll make a home with him. So you see the condition, right? And here's my best shot, okay, at this, all right? And it connects a little bit to what we talked about last week, right? When Jesus said, when he's washing his disciples' feet and he comes to Peter and he's trying to wash Peter's feet and Peter's like, nope, nope, you know? And Jesus makes this statement, if I don't cleanse you, you have no share with me. And I keep touching my side when I say share with me, but I don't know why I'm doing that, but it's like, it's like you got to connect with me and partner with me in what I'm doing, right? So somehow this equals that, right? And here's my best shot at this, okay? Why Jesus would say this. You see it even in secular society. I actually really like reading and watching documentaries about these types of things where people just go to extraordinary lengths to be amazing at something, or they want to achieve something. I want to climb every mountain in the world, right? I want to, Michael Phelps, I want to win the most gold medals more than any Olympic swimmer in history, right? Tiger Woods, I want to, he's still trying. His body is like jacked up and he's still trying to win the most number of majors in golf, right? On the PGA Tour. Or someone, you know, you read an article about this person who's devoted their entire life to finding a cure to a very specific cancer, or someone who just gives their life to the mission of like national security and saving lives and threat and freedom and all that, right? Or like solve people who go into policy and they just like, they give all of their energy to like solve the healthcare crisis or the housing crisis or the homelessness crisis or whatever, right? These causes, right? And like they're gonna give their life for a pursuit, a goal, an objective. And I think God is like that. He is definitely like that. Not in a, you know, self-serving way, right? Like, I mean, meaning, you know, I'm not saying all those causes are bad. I'm just saying they're pointers, right? It's not the real thing. It's meant to point us to the fact that God is the most passionate, zealous, mission-oriented, focused human being or being and person in the entire universe. He's on a mission. And his mission is love and worship. He is gathering his people to love on them and to teach them how to love as he loves. He will leave the 99 and go get that one. He will send his son. God himself, will be crucified. Right? Like betrayal, beating, you know, at the hands of his creation. I mean, God is just like, he's got this this tenacity. He is just, you know. So when and you see it in like, you know, go and make disciples of all nations. That's great. The great commission, you know, the commissioning of his mission, right? That's Jesus's mission that we're getting commissioned to. Go and make disciples, right? Go get them. Go get God's people, right? And bring them into the church and disciple them and baptize them and teach them, right? And so when Jesus says, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Or when he says, before, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves. I think we have to understand that God's commandments aim toward a mission. They aim toward an outcome. Okay? So what he's really saying is, if you love me, you're going to follow me where I'm going, okay? Have you ever met, and I think maybe, okay, I don't wanna be judgmental. Maybe I'm like this, okay? And I think we're trying, okay? I'm trying, and I think God is trying to help us. But I was definitely like this in my like mid-20s, right? Like, have you ever met Christians that are like, they're Christian, right? Or they say they're Christian, but they're just really not very loving. They just kind of seem like they hate people, you know? They're not interested in church. They're not interested in connecting with people. Yet, they call themselves Christians. And I don't know if they are, if they're not. That's not really my place to kind of like, you know, judge. But and for many years, it was kind of a head scratch. Well, number one, I used to be like that. And then I'm trying to recover from that. But I look back on that, I'm like, that's such a head scratcher to me. You know, like, how is it? Because people are the mission. Like, God's mission is to glorify God through the pursuit of his people. That's God's mission. Okay? So if you say you love God, but you're not on his mission, can you say that you love God? I think that's what Jesus is saying. If you love me, right? It's not a checklist, right? I think that's how we want to read this verse. We think it's like this checklist of things that we should and shouldn't do, right? And that's part of it, right? I mean, you shouldn't look at certain things and you know, you should be loving, you know, but I think in a bigger sense, when he says my word and my commandments, it's directional. He's going somewhere. God he's on a mission. He is the most mission-oriented person in the entire universe. He is going somewhere, and his mission is people, right? God's mission is to glorify God through the pursuit of his people and the worship of his people, right? Worshiping God. And so, if we want to love God, right, or loving God is following him on the mission. Okay? I think that's what Jesus is kind of connecting here, right? And the reason that's really important is because he says, that's how you're going to love me, and that's how I'm going to love you. Okay? So when Jesus says, you know, come and yoke with me, it's the same thing, right? Pick up your cross, deny yourself, come and follow me. Jesus is going somewhere. You know, and part of how we are intimate with God is going where he's going and knowing that that's rest, that's peace, that's the intimacy of God, or at least a part of it, is when we're connected with him and going where he's going. So obeying is equal to following him, which is equal to loving him. Let's not oversimplify that to just like do's and don'ts, okay? And it's a gift, right? It's a gift of God to want what he wants, right? And I believe he's giving us that gift. Like, you know, like not just every day, God is sanctifying us and helping us to go where he's going, to love what he loves, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to love extraordinarily, because that's what God does. So to connect it to last week, Jesus is saying, I want to be intensely intimate with you. I want you to share in what I'm doing, okay? You got to go where I'm going. So if you love me, you're going to follow me, right? And that's how I'm going to come and manifest and reveal and be intimate with you. Okay. Let's close with this. The Holy Spirit helps us love and follow Christ. And this is, you know, everything that I said, this is like the great, wonderful news and the grace of God, okay? Verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So Jesus is going away physically, right? That's what he's telling his disciples, and the words are captured for us because we're sort of post that, right? Like, we don't see him physically. If anyone comes to you and says they're Jesus physically, okay, you punch him in the face, right? That's not Jesus, right? Not yet, okay? I think we'll know when he comes, okay? It's a transition, right, from physically to spiritually, and the way that Jesus teaches us and the way that with him absent physically, the way that God brings to remembrance all of Jesus' words and his commands and his comfort and his presence is through the Holy Spirit, the Helper, because he's going away. In other parts of John 14, which I didn't read all of it, or other parts that I did read and I didn't read, it said, he says things like, I will not leave you as orphans, you and me, I and you, I'm going to manifest myself. will come to you. My peace I give to you. Don't be afraid, right? Let me read verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him because he dwells in you and will be in you. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, his job, okay? The Holy Spirit's role and his job, one of his main jobs is that since Jesus has left us temporarily, physically, it is to come into us, to dwell in us, and to bring to remembrance and to teach us in our spirit. God's Spirit is connecting with our spirit to teach us and to bring to remembrance. And again, that happens in a lot of different ways. But I think part of today is like, we got to recognize that. We got to have an eye for that so that we can give God the glory, you know? Like, you know, you're walking down the street and, you know, some thought comes into your mind, like, oh, hey, I got to text somebody, you know? Like, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, right? And you got to test it too, right? Like, I mean, you got to like kind of test your thoughts and test your heart. But if there's like, if you feel something, like an urge to connect and love and serve and, you know, like 9 times out of 10, maybe the Holy Spirit, you know, like, and then you got to act on that. You got to, I'm trying to get better at this. Like, you know, I got to text the guy who came to my mind, or I got to give the guy a call, or, you know, or like schedule this thing or other. Cause the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is the gift of God that is helping us to follow and obey, right? And to love. And all of that, the purpose of all that is intimacy, right? God wants to just, he wants to make a home with us. He wants to dwell in us, right? So let's bow our heads. Let's take a moment and pray. And if I could invite, you know, Nate and the team to come up. And as we pray before we close, can I invite you to just really just pray that prayer. Just pray to the Holy Spirit, your helper, while Jesus is away, and say, Holy Spirit, please teach me. Right? Holy Spirit, please cause me to repent. Holy Spirit, bring me love. And Holy Spirit, help me to follow Christ. Show me Christ. So let's take a moment. Let's pray that right now. Just literally just pray it and ask God and the Holy Spirit to come and help us. And God's promise, the promise of God is that he's going to come and he's going to be with you forever. And he's going to help you be intimate with God. So let's pray.